Went to Psalms chapter 101. We want to go a couple places, but I read an article in Sword of the Lord this week, and it got me thinking. In Finland, this one lady, she's some public official. She's also, I think, some type of Lutheran, in the Lutheran denomination, some position in it. But they have given her 6 years. The reason why they gave her 6 years is because she shared her view of marriage. And her view of marriage was one man and one woman. And so they said because she did that I forget the word they used, but anyway, she insulted and discriminated against all the transgenders and the gays and lesbians and bisexuals and whatever else goes on that list that they've got. But imagine that, getting 6 years in prison because you believe marriage is between one man and one woman.
Amen.
You know, we kind of got duped in this country when President Obama was in all of his debates. He said he believed marriage was between one man and one woman. And all the time, his wife was going to all these other groups, like I mentioned, and persuading them just wait until he got in and then he would change things. And sure enough, he found it when the numbers were right, and he changed it. And I don't know that we've ever got enough people with enough guts to ever change it back. But let me say something about the home. The home was initiated by God, and it belongs to God. No government, no person, and no court has a right to redefine what God created.
Amen.
And even though they say, and they do, it doesn't change the fact of what it is. And I got thinking about, and I want to share with you, and I know most of you have heard many, many messages on the home, but you young people and you young couples and you that have your children, I want to encourage you to be very, very wise. There is no doubt that we are living in perilous, perilous times. And it's perilous because of the danger of these children. And these children doesn't stop when they're young. I mean, I'm talking about teenagers and all these others. Very, very dangerous. The world is apt, and Satan has not lost his ambition. His ambition is to kill and destroy, and it's never changed. And one thing that he's trying to kill is homes. And tonight I want to look, if you would, in Psalms 101. Begin reading with me, if you would. It says in verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer, or will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I want to share with you a couple of thoughts, but I want you to know that every home, every family, and really every person, now I see this in dealing with schools and dealing with families and looking out and listening to news and looking all around me. There's three things that every family needs. Number one, you need a Christian home. Not a religious home. You need a Christian home.
Amen.
One where Christ is there and real. The second thing you need a church home.
Amen.
Anyone who has a Christian home should have a church home. And then, if you got both of those things, then you got your third thing, you got a heavenly home. But you need to be reminded that there is a heavenly home waiting for you. This is not all of it. I'm afraid in America, we are farming our children out. We're going with this race-based theory, doctrine going all around our country. They're turning one against the other. Instead of trying to do something to make all races be in unity together, they're trying to conquer and divide races. They're trying to make some races all evil. They're trying to go through segregation again. And it's a scary situation. We need to be very careful farming our children out and looking to other people to educate our children. Some of the parents are finding out around the nation that it's a dangerous thing what's happening in many of the schools. Amen. I really believe this. They want police officers to wear a camera on every collar. I think every classroom paid for by public funds ought to have a camera in it.
Amen.
And parents ought to be able to observe what's being taught and said in their school. And because what we're doing is we're having a generation not only turned against parents and country and everything else. And it's a very, very dangerous time. Now, we know, and I don't have to take you back to Genesis, to the establishment of the home. We know that God created Adam. Then God himself saw that there was some needs in Adam. And he made Adam a helpmeet. And he made a helpmeet to help complete Adam's purpose upon the earth and some things that he need to do. Now, God knows more about the subject of marriage than anybody else because he was one, came up with the idea. He's the one that created man and woman, and he created them for a purpose. Now, let me say this. Ladies and men, you cannot just have surgery and change who you are.
Amen.
You got chromosomes that separate you. Women are completely different than men. They're different in their psyche, the way they think about things, their emotions, the way they handle things. And it's not saying either is right or is wrong, but we are different. Sometimes you women doesn't understand what we men are doing, and sometimes we men don't understand what you women are going through. Women need things a lot more than what men does in some fashion, and men vice versa in some other things. But my point is this. You can't change who you are. You can change your outside appearance. You can change some, you can cut off or enlarge organs in your body. But it doesn't change who you are.
Right. Amen.
God made women to be women.
Amen.
and God made men to be men. And nothing we can do is going to change that. And no, nothing else is going to make a home the way God intended a home to be.
Right.
We'll get to that in a moment. But the Bible says that marriage is honorable in all men and the bed undefiled. And so therefore, we recognize that God spoke through the word of God and he said, one man, one woman. God's order. Now, a home is very important. It's important to the spouses and children. It's important to the churches. It's important to the nation. You want to know why our nation's in such a mess? Because our homes are in such a mess. And if we don't rescue our homes, and listen, homes within the church are not out of reach. It doesn't mean that the devil's going to take a vacation on your home because you happen to come to a church. And so what you need to understand is you need to be very careful. When God established a home, he established a place of companionship. He saw it was not good for man to live alone. When a home is set up right, keep your finger there a moment. Look, if you would, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Solomon said, when a home is set up right, that two is much better than one. Notice what he says in verse number 9. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? In other words, what he tries to tell us is companionship is good. The right type of companionship. And God has ordained the companionship. He's also ordained the order of a home. Now, the world hates this. Humanism hates this. But God has set the order of a home. Keep your finger there and go with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice in verse number 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is what?
Christ.
And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is?
God.
Now, when men come to me and say, preacher, my wife won't let me be head. The first question I ask them is, are you letting Christ be head of you? If Christ is not head of you, then you have no right to say something about your wife not allowing you to be head of her. I didn't set this order. God did.
Amen.
Look, if you would, in Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter number 3. We could see it in Ephesians. We could see it in several places. But notice you would in chapter 3, in verse number 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. You see that, all things? All things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We could go place after place after place in the Bible. God has set the order for the home. You say, well, in our home, we do it this way. That doesn't make it right.
Right.
Amen. God's order is the only order that will stand. Now, it's also a place when God made the woman out of man for the man to be a helpmeet. It was also to complete in Proverbs chapter number 18. Verse 22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. To find a good wife, to find a wife is something that God finds favor in and blesses. Now, not only that, but also the oneness that you are to have. The fact that we are men, some of you ladies, you're women. We have to change the way that we see things to the way that we as a combination want to raise our children. We have to conform ourselves because we're used to thinking things in a man's structure. You're used to thinking things in a woman's structure. And when you get together, what you need to understand coming together as a marriage, there's a oneness that God wants out of your marriage. Being twain, you become one. And work as a unit, not against each other. It's not to have that when one wants something, they go to the other one, try to use them against each other. But it's that you work as a unit, as one. Look, if you would, keep your finger there in Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians 5, Paul wrote, in verse number 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what? One flesh. Look if you would in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so there should be a oneness. There is also a separation that comes with being marriage. You separate from your mom and dad. You're to leave your mother and father and cleave unto your wife. Sometimes parents have a hard time letting go of their children. They want to interfere constantly in their children's lives. It's okay to help. It's okay to suggest and so forth. But there's a separation once a man marries a woman. That's hard to come by because you've had them all those years. But yet the Bible says that we're to do that, then we're to cleave unto the wife. That means that we are to grab hold of them and we are to stick to them. And so therefore, that would be God's will. Now, because the home is so important, because as a home goes, so goes our churches and so goes our country. And so therefore, the reason the home is such a good target for the devil is because of that reason. If he destroys a home, he destroys a church, and he destroys a country. And therefore, we need to understand that he's going to attack it with everything that he's got. Now, society is doing everything it can and working overtime trying to convince us that a home can be made up of all kinds of different people. It's just a little bit. If Jesus holds back his coming, it's just a short period of time down the road till they're going to quit all this sexual perverted relationships, and they're going to look at bestiality relationships. People want to marry their dogs and their cats, and they'll want to have union with those. Already we're having places where people leave their will to their animals. But any way you want to say it, and you can take all the names that they use, the transsexual and transgender and all that stuff, But you can't read Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. You can't read those verses without understanding that that is abomination before God. And it is a perversion of sex. God never meant it to be that way. He loves sinners. He saves sinners. But he'll never approve of that sin. You'll never find anything God calls abomination and later on he puts his stamp of approval on. And it doesn't matter what's happening, what year it is, and what laws have been passed, and what the Supreme Court okays, God's definition is still one man, one woman, and that's what he made for marriage, is a man to a woman. Nothing else will work. And he made them that we would be able to have the order, and boy, Satan is attacking the order. And through all this, used to be women's lib, but now it's much more than that. Now you've got all this other bunch coming at you when you stand. But the Bible still says Christ is ahead of a man, the man is ahead of the woman, and God is ahead of Christ.
Amen.
And there's nothing we can do and nothing we should want to do to change that order.
Right.
We ought to want to conform to that order, not sit there and argue against God, because all we're doing is playing the devil's playbook. What he has done is he has attacked the order of the home. All you have to do, and most, even in most churches and family, is to just read that one verse and let the verse stand for itself, and you'll have people getting all kinds of mad at you because of that verse. But it doesn't change things, and that's what's tearing our homes apart, because we have lost the order of our homes. The world is trying to teach us that our children are to dictate what happens in our home, not the parents. And therefore, they try to turn them against all parental authority and all other types of authority. They try to make authority bad and evil. And we have places all around our country turning criminals out and looking and trying their best to prosecute police officers and anyone else who tries to stand in the way, even parents. I was watching this one issue where they put the parent out of a meeting just because they wanted to know what was going on with their children. They were paying the taxes, but yet they felt they had no business in there to know what their children was being taught. That's a dangerous, dangerous situation. Not only that, he's attacked the security of the home. Now listen to me very carefully. Somebody said, this home is protected by Smith and Wesson. Well, it takes more than guns and guts to protect a home. You better have Christ. You need to have a spiritual protection of that home. And guns and guts are not enough. But you better have him in your home.
Amen.
Not only that, he's attacked the unity, the oneness. And he's tried to fill it with all kinds of unequal yokes that God has warned against. Not only that, he's attacked the financing of the home. Now, you young people, listen to me, and young couples. We have this mentality of everything we see, we got to have. Somebody said, well, you've got things in your home. I've got 43 years of marriage in my home. When we got married, we worked. But before we got married, we bought our furniture before we got married. We bought our cars before we got married. And we found a place for $100 a month to live. And therefore, we set forth. There's been times in our marriage where it was very, very tight. We just lived off of nothing hardly once we paid the bills. Then there was other times when we've been very blessed. But as time went on, things have changed. We finally got our kids out of the house, and we've got something now. Until they come back over visiting, but I'm kidding. But yeah, bring their kids in. But no, I'm kidding you. But the truth of the matter is this. All jokes aside, now listen to me, young people and young marriage. The society and the devil is trying to get you to finance everything. And it will destroy you. You've got to be wise in your financing. Financing is one of the biggest detriments of tearing marriages apart. But really, the bottom line is it runs into covetousness. It's where it comes down to. And you got to be very wise. Because if you're not careful, enough is never enough. And they try to get you in debt and keep you in debt. I get calls. As a matter of fact, I got one here quick as I got to church wanting to refinance this. I don't even have anything with them. Lower my interest rate. I don't even have anything with them. And all kinds of stuff. But the point I'm trying to get to is this. There's a trap. And the trap now is you don't have to have any money. Just go ahead and finance it. Worry about how you're going to pay for it later on. Well, we'll just go ahead and finance it. Don't matter what the interest rate is. We'll finance it where if you want $400 payments, we'll give you $400 payment. Forget that you're going to buy something that you should pay off in a year, and now you're going to pay it off in 25 years. Forget about that. You got to be wise. Don't destroy your home because of finances. Satan's attacking commitment. No commitment. You know, I read this. This is babies born out of wedlock. This is not babies that's born in a marriage and then one spouse or the other walks away and there's a lot of that going on. But just in black families, 73% is born out of wedlock. 73% of all babies are born out of wedlock. In the Native Americans, Eskimos, what we call Indians, 66% of all babies are born out of wedlock. Hispanic, 53%. Whites, 29%. Asian and Pacific Islanders, 17%. What I want you to understand is Satan is attacking commitment. It doesn't take anything to have babies. But somebody's got to raise those babies. And what you need to do is have the right foundation before you ever bring babies in. And you say, well, I've made a mistake. Well, then we've all made mistakes. And if you're in a position where you've made a mistake, then you pick up and you try to do the best for that child from this point on. But those of you who haven't, you need to be wise enough to not go down that path. Think about what's going on. And what you need to understand is this. It's a dangerous path, and it's not the way to start off a marriage. And I cannot tell you how many times I've seen marriages in trouble, and the first thing they want to do to fix a marriage is try to have a baby. And that's the worst thing that you could do when they don't even have their marriages solid and strengthened. You know, Adam received Eve because he was incomplete. He was lonely. He had some weakness. Eve, the fall, exposed Eve's weakness. The fact that Satan attacked the weaker vessel, and he did it for a reason. And he exposed her and made her try to believe that God was a liar. And also that she could be a god if she would just take of the fruit. And so therefore, the Bible teaches that not only, if you turn one place real quickly before I close, but look if you would in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Notice if you would, beginning in verse number 9. He says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, Brother Eric there, he taught on a virtuous woman the other day. Did a very good job. Spent two Sundays doing it. I thought it was an excellent Sunday school lesson. Says in verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I noticed the other day I was reading this article, and they were interviewing this, I can't remember what denomination she was, but she was the pastor of that denominational church. And she said, the gays and lesbians, and she went on to name all the transgender and all the list, saved their church. I thought, well, number one, you're out of place in your position.
Amen.
Number two, if that saved your church, you don't have a church. But I want you to understand something. It's not saying men is greater than women or women is greater than men. But God has ordained men to lead the church.
That's right. Amen.
And he has also stated here that women are not to usurp the authority over the men in our church. And it's not to say that women is not a vital part of the church, because they are.
Amen.
Listen, there's no way we could have a service like we had Sunday without you women.
Right.
You're as big a part of the service as anything else, but everybody has your part. I could have fixed food for all of us to eat, but I'm sure you would prefer Krista fixed it.
Amen.
Maybe. Kathy's shaking her head, yes. the cornbread man behind her shaking his head, yes, too. But the point being is this, and that's true. We all have our parts. I've known women that I believe could reach heaven as much as any man could. And I believe women has the ability to teach, but they're not to be in a position of teaching men.
Right.
Nor are they to be in a position of pastoring churches.
Right.
He goes on, he says, verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth the good work. Now let me say this. This verse, and you've heard me preach on it before, and I'm not going to get into it, but I really believe this in studying this out, because I was confused with this a little bit, but Eve was deceived.
Yeah.
She was deceived by Satan in believing that if she was to take the fruit, she would be like a god. She would know like a god. Adam, I don't believe, was deceived. The Bible says Adam sinned. And I was talking to Brother Eric about it the other day, and he was telling me, I told him I actually preached a sermon on that sometime back, and that is that Adam, I believe, he took the sin because of his love for his wife. And he loved her so much that he was willing to do that. And we saw the first Adam was just a type of what the second Adam was. The second Adam so loved the whole world that he was willing to take sin that we might be set free. And it's through the seed of the woman, the childbearing of the woman, that has enabled all of us to be saved. And where will we be? And by the way, all this other bunch that tries to pervert marriage, they have to go borrow somebody to have children, because God didn't make them to procreate. It was made between a man and a woman. And so therefore we need to be wise. But be careful, because there's more fighting than there are praying in homes anymore. More worldly expressions and worldly things than scriptures. We need to be very careful, because we seem to be complaining more in our homes and praising God for what God's done. And we can lose our home. The Bible says a wise man builds his house upon the rock. The Bible says a wise woman builds her house on the Lord. And so you say, well, what role do we have? Now listen, let me close with this. Yes, God says the man is a head, but the woman is the heart of the home. I believe that. And the children, don't teach them to think that they're bosses. The children are the future of that home. And if you don't raise your children in the nurture of God, it's going to really affect the future of your home. I don't know about you, but I want, there's going to come a time when I can't do for myself. And I want my children to love me enough to do what's necessary. I don't want them just loving what I have and trying to do what gets them possessions quick enough. But I want them to love me enough. But more than anything else, I want my children to have a Christian home, to have a church home, and to have a heavenly home.
Amen.
And if they have those three things, then I feel like I've been a success in raising my family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, as we look at our country and we shake our head, and as Brother Junior said, sometimes we put all the blame on the president. He deserves his share, but so does everyone else. But Lord, our nation has gone the way that our homes have gone. And our homes have gone the way they have because so many of us as parents have farmed our children out to other people to raise our children, to educate our children, and then all of a sudden we don't recognize our children. Neither does our children have natural affections for us. Neither are they obedient to their parents. Neither are they thankful. And Heavenly Father, I pray during this time that the devil is attacking the home and destroying our homes. God, that you would build a hedge around the homes here. These parents that has children at home, Lord, I pray that you would help them to be wise enough to raise them in the nurture and admonition of God. Lord, I pray that you would help the husband and the wife to go at it in the proper order in which you've laid. And Lord, to understand it's a task that they join together, and two is better than one. And Lord, let them go and try to obtain that task with their children, because we understand the world, the flesh, and especially the devil, wants to destroy our homes. Lord, again, be with us tonight. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for those who are here. We thank you for parents that are striving to do the right thing. And Heavenly Father, we pray, forgive us of where we fail you. Strengthen us. And Heavenly Father, those who are in hardships, all those that we mentioned, Lord, that's trying to raise children alone. Maybe some of them's raising them, Heavenly Father, in very difficult situations. Lord, we pray that they would understand the secret of finding peace, and that peace falls through knowing you. And Lord, there's nothing that they could do more for their children than to raise them in a Christian home. Lord, help us to see that, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Acts 2:12.
Maybe tonight, Lord's dealt with your heart about something. Maybe you need to be saved. You need to come. Would you come? However God may be leading you.